is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice.
Oh, they're all here. All right. Awesome. Okay. Prayer of Faith, would you welcome our young adult Bible study leader, Colton Powell.
How are we doing today? Good. Today we're going to be in Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 22. But before we get into the word today, I kind of felt in my heart to say some thank yous today, starting with my mom, my grandparents, Jack and Janet Eldred, and then Adam and Eric. I just want to say thank you to my mom for always reminding me in a house full of eight how crazy it could get to keep God at the center of your life at all times, no matter what on the outside world is going on, to always keep him there. Thank you to my grandparents, Jack and Jana, for starting this church and giving me a home for the last 22 years, when honestly, when things at my house weren't always the greatest. You know, to this day, I can come here, I can relax, I know that I'm safe here, and so thank you for that. And then thank you, Adam and Eric, for giving me this opportunity to speak, knowing that this is a huge blessing in my life, and you guys saw something in me when maybe I didn't see it in myself. So thank you for that. And thank you to the church body as well for giving me this opportunity to speak to you guys. And thank you to the ones that are in here, that I've been here for as long as I have, that have as well seen something in me when I didn't see it in myself, and you didn't give up on me when I made mistakes in life. And so I just wanted to say thank you for that. So today, like I said, we're going to be in Exodus 3, verses 1 through 22. And today we're going to kind of talk about what happens when life gives a disappointment. You know, you don't feel good enough for anybody or anything. Everything you've ever tried, you've prayed to God, and like, God, help me in this, and it doesn't work out the way you thought it was going to go. And you feel like giving up, and everybody's telling you you should give up as well, but you know in your heart you shouldn't, but you're tired of being kicked around by everybody. And so you've stopped caring with your heart, and you've started caring with your head, because it's easier just to carry with your head, because no one can hurt you if you don't give all 100%. You don't care with your heart. You're just caring with your head. And so today, we're going to be talking about what it's like to have that battle within. And today's title, today's message is The Battle Within. And so we read, starting with verse 1 in chapter 3, it says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am, God. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." Verse 11, "But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and to bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" We're going to pause there. Verse 11, I connected with Moses in such a way because I get it what he's saying. He's like, who am I? And I've many times in my life, I have said the same exact thing. I'm like, who am I, God? You know, you for many years, you let me be a youth leader over at Ground Zero. You now have given me this great opportunity to lead a young adult class on Wednesday nights, a great opportunity to do SNLs for the church, first and third Sunday of the month, and now preach today. But who am I? Like, God, like, you realize, like, I've messed up a lot and I hate myself for it. I'm sure I'm going to mess up in the near future and there's nothing I can do about it because it's just human nature. And you hurt people along the way you never want to hurt in a million years, but you do it. And so you hate yourself for it, and you're so mad at yourself, and you stretch yourself out because you want to be perfect, and you want to do things right inside the church, and God's calling you the whole time. You don't have to be perfect. Like, I get you're going to mess up. I understand that. But I'm going to need you to trust me. And it's hard. It's hard to trust. And so I get what Moses is saying, because Moses is like, God, like, I was kicked out of, like, my hometown. Like, I was kicked out of there. And so now I'm just a sheep herder. I can't do the things you want me to do. I can't lead a nation out of misery and out of suffering. I can't. I'm not qualified for this job, Lord. And he says, and I've kind of realized that oftentimes that it's not that God chooses the most qualified to do his work. It's not at times when God's like, oh, you got everything perfect. All right, let's go do this job now. Let's go. It's not. He often chooses the ones that have been through some of the hardest things anybody could go through, to help lead someone who doesn't know who Christ is, who all that person has known is bad stuff in their life. And now you have the opportunity to lead someone to Christ as long as you trust in God. And that can be really hard. I know for me, for a long time, it was really hard for me to trust. Because I kind of had this, if I'm going to be honest, like, I had this sense of, like, everything's against me, in a sense, for a while. I had that about me. And I remember talking to my grandparents again, and they said, you can't have that mentality of everything's against you. You know, things happen in life, and as long as you can learn, you can grow, and you can succeed from things in life, then you can help someone out. And I've carried that to this day. And so we keep reading. And we're verse 12, and it said, and God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Now, I like where verse 12 is placed at under verse 11, because I like that, because notice in the text how he says, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Notice how he says, when you bring these people out of Egypt. When you bring these people out of misery, out of suffering, out of hurt, out of loss. Notice how he doesn't say, if you bring them out. If everything goes to plan, you'll bring them out. He says, when you bring them out. I get that you're scared. You really don't want to go back to that place. And you've got such a grip on your life that you're not letting me lead it. And if you just let me lead it for 5 seconds, we can do something amazing together. Just take my hand. Let's do it. But I get it. It's hard because we've been through things. We felt kicked around, and I get it. God gets it too. When he was on that cross for you and for I, he got it. He already knew some of the doubts you would have in yourself, some of the disappointments you would have in yourself. But he said, if you can learn from it, then we can help change the world one day at a time. So in verse 13, it says, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to your Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of the misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey to the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. Notice the significance in verses 18 through 20 and really this whole chapter. See, I believe what I got from it was that Moses didn't really want to go back to the place that hurt him. He didn't want to have to go through those things that hurt him. He didn't want to have to go through the processes leading up to the things that hurt him as well. But he knew if he trusted in God, he would be okay. And oftentimes I found that we have to go back through the things that hurt us so deeply and so profoundly in order to lead someone. Lead that person who doesn't know who Christ is. Bring Jesus into your work. All of us have a calling, whether it's to be a pastor, whether it's to be a singer inside of a church, whether it's to lead a business. You have an opportunity to lead somebody. Let them know who Christ is, because quite frankly, like, you may be the only image of Christ that they ever see in their life, and you have that opportunity. So don't think you can't and that you won't. That's just self-doubt talking, and it's honestly not called for. So in verse 21 says, "And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed towards this people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed." Verse 22. "Every woman is to ask her neighbor and anyone living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters, and so you will plunder the Egyptians."
And I come into my junior year, and I'm about to get exactly what I wanted. About to get this thing called NFL. And I'm 10 games away from this dream that I wanted my whole life, right? This thing that I've been working for my whole life. My whole life is dedicated to this one game. I'm up Saturday mornings, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning, 2 miles to a fire station, 2 miles back home. I'm in the park, 9:30, 10 at night, doing everything in my life surrounded the game of football. I'm sitting at home at night. I'm throwing balls up to the ceiling, and I'm catching them different type of ways, trying to see if a receiver was to check me, if I wanted to catch an interception. Like, everything revolved around this game, and I finally get in a position in my life to where now I'm 10 games away from it. I got the paperwork that states I'm about to be an NFL draft pick. NFL on top of the paper. Inky Johnson projected top 30 automatic multi-millionaire. Now all you have to do, the hard part's over, just play the next 10 football games, Ink. You made it. And I go out in a silly game against Air Force, 2 minutes left, and I go to make a tackle that I can make with my eyes closed. And I hit this guy, and as soon as I hit him, I knew it was a problem, but I didn't think it would be this type of problem. Like, you know how when things happen, you're like, I didn't expect that, but I don't think it's going to be anything too crazy. And when I hit him, every breath in my body left, my body goes completely limp, I fall to the ground, I blacked out, my eyes open, I'm still not, you know, too concerned, because it's football. I told Pastor, I never thought about a career-ending injury. You have injuries within the game. When my eyes open, guys run over, Ink, let's rock, man, let's go, let's finish him off. And I'm like, I can't. Like, what do you mean you can't? You're a starting corner. Get up. You can nurse your injury after the game, man. I'm like, no, I can't. They said, what do you mean you can't? I said, I can't move. It's a shock. Neck to my toes. I can't feel anything. Shock leaves. It stays in my right arm and hand. I'm like, maybe I got a bad stinger. They put me on the spine board, wheeling me off the field. Doctor says to me as he's walking beside me, I don't know how you're still alive, son. You don't have any pulse. We get to the ambulance. My father's standing there. I'm like, Pops, I laid it on him, right? I put it on him, right? My dad's like, yeah, but I think you got the worst part of this for me. Doctor say, we're going to take you over, run a couple tests, bring you back into the room. Everything will be cool. They run the test. They bring me back into the room. Mom comes in, kisses, prays. Son, you'll be fine. She's going to walk out. Doctors rush in. Head boy says, hey, ma'am, got to rush him back to surgery. He's about to die. And I look at him and I want to ask him, like, man, you can't use another word? Like, use a synonym, brother. How y'all say die? Like, you sure die, man? And he could tell from how I'm looking at him that I'm questioning. And he says to me, you ruptured a subclavian artery in your chest. You're bleeding internally. If we don't perform the surgery tonight, I guarantee you, you won't be here no more. 7 years old to 20 years old boiled down to one moment. The sacrifice, the dedication, the commitment came down to one moment. And the next morning I woke up from that surgery, the NFL on my scale of life was that big. SEC championship, that big. Cornerback, that big. I was embarrassed. I'm sitting there and people coming into my room like, Inky, man, I'm sorry about what happened to you. And I'm saying to myself, man, Ink, you really messed it up this time. Like, man, that's really the only thing you wanted, huh? Like, you just thought because you grew up in this so-called hood, two-bedroom home, 14 people. Like, the only thing you really wanted was the NFL. That's it. I'm like, man, you limited God to that? Like, life holds no substance, no value? Like, efficient but not effective? I did things right, but I never did the right thing? And now the thing I placed my identity in, now it's gone. That's why I laugh at people when they say, man, if I could just get this, I'll be. Man, if I could just get this position, I'll be. Woo! Man, if I could just get this amount of money, I'll be. I'm like, woo. But what happens even if you get it or you don't get it? What happens when God says yes and no? Like, do you have the ability to accept what you don't understand? Can you still see God's plan when it didn't go the way that you thought it would go? Can you handle when things get off course? I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, like, man, I'm 8 games away, and God is redirecting me, and I'm like, God, just let me get to the NFL, then redirect me. Like, let me get the contract, then redirect me so I can help my family. And God's like, no, son, I need you to really go that way. And I'm like, you sure? Like, man, I need to go this way. He's like, no, I need you to go this way. I got something greater for you. Now, it might take a little longer to manifest, but I got something even sweeter. Like, I got something more fulfilling. I got something more rewarding. I got something, son, that's going to carry you for the rest of your life. Like, it's an amazing thing. I knew this was what I was supposed to be doing when one day I'm backstage and I got the same feeling that I got when I used to be in the tunnel before I was running out of Neyland Stadium. And I said, thank you, God. And so now I live my life a certain type of way according to what God has done. I live my life a certain type of way according to the power that I know the Lord possesses. I live my life a certain type. Like, when I go to the Lord in prayer, I go bold. And every time I go bold, I'm so thankful that that's not me and my Lord's first time communicating. And people have the nerve to ask me all the time, Inky, why wouldn't you change what happened to you? You got a paralyzed right arm and hand. I'm like, if you only knew and if you only saw the works that God has done in people's lives around me. What he's done in me, yeah, it's great, it's cool. But what God has done in the people's lives around me, like, you can't put a price on that. Like, at a certain point, like, what is it really about? Like, and I know the initial reaction when we go through things is to say, man, why did this have to happen to me? And it's an honest reaction. Because sometimes good people go through some crazy stuff. And some of the things we go through, I'm going to just be real, it's not a scripture for it. It's not. You can't go, hey, go to Romans 2:2. They're like, what? It's not. But this is what I've understood. In life, some people don't need you to preach a sermon. They need you to live one. And so when they see you living it, they can connect and identify with that. The only thing I ask of you, as talented, as brilliant, as powerful, as beautiful as you are, never allow life to make you forget why you started in the first place. Meaning that first time you said, man, I'm riding with Christ, let's go. That first feeling you got, like that first interaction, that first connection you got, like when you first got it. It's like when people say at the beginning, everybody's excited, everybody is on fire, but at a certain point you hit something along the journey and it's going to test that level of commitment. At a certain point you're going to hit something, it's going to test that level of faith. And my definition of commitment was always staying true to what I said I would do long after the mood that I've set it in has left. Like, am I going to stay true to my beliefs and my core and my essence of who I am as an individual, even if I get a paralyzed right arm and hand? Am I going to stay true to it, even if my little career that I thought I was going to have disappears? Am I going to stay true to it, even if one day I'm in a football game, the thing I love to do, the thing I've been practicing my whole life, and in one moment it gets wiped out? Am I going to stay true to it? Because depending upon if I'm going to stay true to it, a lot of other people's belief in their Christian journey is predicated upon that and my belief in my Christian journey. In other words, I've seen a lot of other people say, Inky, I want to give my life to Christ, not because of something that happened with me, but because of something I've seen happen to you. And so when ESPN comes to me and say, Ink, you wouldn't be in the NFL right now? I'm like, if you only knew. If you only knew my father got saved because of my injury. If you only knew. My three boys that went first round to the NFL, all of them got saved. If you only knew. If you only knew my mother, the level of her faith. Like, if you only knew. Like, I just seen God do some things through the injury. And I'm like, man, every day I wake up, I just try to stay out of his way. I'm going to leave you with this. We already know what to do when God says yes. We already know what to do when we get blessed. We already know what to do when our prayers get answered. But the question that I have for you, and it's rhetorical, what will you do when God says no?
Take a minute on your way out to thank Colton. He's in the very back there. Thank him for his message. Have a blessed and amazing week this week.